Okay, guys, just before we get underway with our interview today, I just want to share a couple of announcements that we have related to the Crown of Command, and one being that we now have some merchandise on our store that I will share in a link in the show notes if you want to go and pick up your own sort of Hero Hammer, Crown of Command, or Call of the Crown merchandise. There'll be more items added as when I have time to add things, and based on people's requests. So there are things like, hoodies and t-shirts, long sleeve tees, and that kind of thing. Mugs. I think there's a pint glass, stickers, all that kind of stuff. And we're just adding more designs that we have in stock, and that we can put those up on the store so people can grab their merchandise of choice, so they can wear clothing with our logos. And we've got Angel's cover for the fan, Hero Hammer fanzine on one of them, which is great. I've ordered a hoodie with that design on it, which I can't wait to get. And we're sort of looking at different designs we can add to broaden the range on our store. So if you want to head over there and grab something, I've reduced the prices as far as I can in order for me to put them onto the site. And whatever profits we do have, which is probably based on about like $1 US or €1 per sale of each item, all that money will go to a charity. We want to keep it all non-profit, and so all the money that's raised through the store will go through to a charity. So once we've got, I think we've got about $6 so far. I think there's a few more purchases being made in the last couple of days from some really generous people. So thank you very much for purchasing stuff through the store. Hope the quality of the products are good. I don't actually have a physical copy of the products yet, so I'm hoping that the print quality and the material quality of the items that I bought through the store are of a high standard. They've got two shipping locations, one in the US and one in Europe. So unfortunately for people like in Australia and that kind of thing, shipping might be a little bit expensive. I think I might pay about $13 to get the hoodie shipped over. So again, I try to reduce the prices as much as I can. The shipping I can't do anything about. But if you feel like you want to donate some money to a good cause, then please follow the links in the show notes, and you'll find something hopefully that will suit you, and a color that would match you or whatever. Grab a long tee, grab a jumper for the winter if you're in the northern hemisphere. Grab a t-shirt if you're in the summer hemisphere, and play in style. Play with some nice Crown of the Command merchandise. I'm pretty excited about it. It's something that's I've really wanted to do. And thanks to one of the guys on the Discord, he gave me a link to a store that's really easy to set up. It's all free to do, and it's all really straightforward. So that's been a sort of a nice little addition to what we're doing here. In addition to that, in regards to the Patreon, I don't really mention Patreon much at all because I don't really like spruiking on about it. But we do have a Patreon, and thank you to the 15 members who are part of that community. Now I'm releasing audio clips, like audio interviews, I should say, with people and guests each month. So just for some additional content, there's a video I release every month as well. There's sort of like behind the scenes in the studio, what I'm working on, what projects I'm painting, like maybe interviews I'm sort of planning for the future, bit of a sneak peek basically. So it's not really, sort of incredible news, but it's something I've always wanted to do, something extra for the Patreon people. So yeah, expect an interview, maybe one or two a month to drop for that. So that'll be quite cool. So we had Dr. the Viking on in our last interview. We just talked about the latest Warhammer Renaissance event that he attended. There were 10 players in Denmark who attended that event. So it was really cool to talk to him about that, and what he's been up to, what he's been painting, and that kind of thing. So expect another interview in December. I think I've got Robert coming on to talk about something, or maybe some other guys will come on as well. We don't know what's happening yet, but something will be planned. So for those who are a Patreon, thank you very much for your support, and expect some new content to drop every month in terms of a video and some kind of interview. But apart from that, guys, hope everyone's staying safe wherever you are in the world, and hope you're doing some, or hope you're getting some hobby time in, and hoping these podcasts are helping you through your painting periods. So that's why I always like to sit down, do some painting, and listen to a podcast. So without further ado, let's get on with our interview today. Thank you very much for listening, and see you on the other side. Okay, so we're live. It's in Tokyo, so I actually got someone on the same continent as me. Amazingly, it's Sam. How you going, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Really?
Of course. Hearing how famous I am, you know. It's my pleasure.
I was just talking you up before that you're an international star now on YouTube, because I post up your pic on there on the community section there. So. And someone commented today that was such a cool photo of you with your dark sunglasses on, your mask, presenting your army there for the Old World Army Challenge. But that's what one of the things we're going to talk about is your contributions to that particular army painting challenge, which has been going for quite a while. But you've submitted a couple of armies so far, mate. So, but anyhow, I'll let you do all the talking. You tell us all about yourself and how you got into the hobby, mate.
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much. So I started, I think it must have been around 96 or 97 I started. It all kind of came together when I was away on a summer holiday with my family as a young boy. I think I was about 10 years old then, 10, 11 I must have been. And I just went to one of them old bricks and mortar toy shops, and there was this little corner which had a bunch of Warhammer miniatures in it. And I think the first thing I saw was a pack of those plastic Saurus. So it was right when fifth edition had just started, and they was in that turquoise box, I think. And I was like, wow, what are these? And I looked at it at the back, and I can, you know, put them together and paint them and everything. And it was like a completely new thing. I'd never seen anything like it before. And next to them, there was like a section of White Dwarf magazines and just fingered through them. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And I'd always been interested in that kind of like building stuff, you know, with the Lego or something like that, and also like Airfix models and whatnot. But it always was a shame to me that you didn't do anything with them afterwards. Like, no offense to people who love Airfix models, but for me, it was like, put it together. It was like, okay, what do I do with this now? Like, it's done. What? Like, I just looked at it and it was, you know, it wasn't quite what I wanted. And then obviously there's this whole game associated with it and a bunch of dice and all the paraphernalia, and it just looked really amazing. And that was sort of what really started me on the road, I guess. But at that time, you know, there was no internet or anything like that. You know, it's a while back. So how do you meet people that do this kind of thing? You just couldn't. And I just joined secondary school, I think a few months after that, and luckily found a few like-minded people in it, and it all sort of kicked off from there. There was maybe four or five of us, and we would go to the, like, sometimes a local bricks and mortar store that was maybe, you know, one town over, and then there was a games workshop that was a three, four-ish towns over, and it was one of them old ones that was, you know, in the middle of like a dark alley in the back end of like nowhere, and it was maybe like 3 meters by 5 meters, but somehow there was always like 400 people in there on a weekend or something like that, and we would just go down there to all their events. I mean, like, now as an adult, I feel really for their staff at that time, because it was basically like a cross between being a kindergarten teacher and like herding cats, because there was just Yeah, they would, you know, every weekend they would do an event, and then there would be like 20 people on one side, half of whom had no idea what the rules were, and 20 people on the other side, half of whom had no idea what the rules were. And every weekend was like a game of Armageddon, you know. It was just, and this was like second edition 40K or, you know, fifth edition Warhammer. So not the most streamlined rule set when you've got about probably 10K worth of points on either side or something like that. So it was just carnage, but it was a lot of fun. And we would, as I said, we would go down there every week and do that. And because of like you, there were so many people, you didn't put half of models on the table at any one time. So it was pretty good participation if you didn't have much. And it's like an 11-year-old boy, you know, when I was first starting, I could, you know, not really afford anything, especially considering how classically pricey Games Workshop stuff was. So that's, I guess that's sort of like how it all formed. And I was quite lucky as well. Maybe about a year after I started playing, my sister, who's 5 years older than me, she had a boyfriend who was maybe a year or so older than her. And he used to collect Warhammer, and he was a pretty good painter as well. And he did that thing that I think a lot of 16, 17-year-old boys do, where they're like, now beers and other things are more important and I'm going to stop. And he gave me his whole collection, which was, it was a Blood Angels army of maybe about 1,500 points. It was an Orc army of about 1,000-ish points. And it was an Eldar army of maybe 500 or so. So I got this huge influx of models, and that kind of took me through most of my teenage years, just adding bits and bobs to that. And playing with my friends. And then one of the armies, which is, I guess, drawing a little bit into the Old World Army Challenge things I always wanted to do, but I never could, mostly because of how expensive it was for someone of that age, was Imperial Guard. I think one time I got, you know, I started to try to collect an Imperial Guard army, and I think I maybe spent like £100, which is probably about 200 something pounds these days. And it was maybe like 400 points worth of models compared to if I'd have got like Space Marines or something, it would have been like a whole army. So it was one of them unfinished projects that I always wanted. And I had a friend who had a big Imperial Guard army, and I always laughed out. It looked so impressive, all the tanks and things like that. And so that's sort of where my love of the Imperial Guard came in, yeah, from that early stage. And then I guess fast forward to when I got to the beers and girls stage, and I sort of quit, and all my stuff went to a charity shop, which is so bad. I kind of weep for the collection I had. I had like Warhammer Quest, Blood Bowl. I had all these armies I just told you about, plus other stuff I'd collected. I had probably 10, 15 books. I had about 400, well, probably not as many as that, but like a couple of hundred episodes of White Dwarf. I'm sure I must have had more, but anyway, it all went to the charity shop. And thinking about that now makes my head hurt. But that's when I sort of stopped playing for a few years, at least. And I tried again to start collecting in university, but it was very hard. Like when I went to university, it was one of the things where I thought a lot of people would be doing this kind of things, but mostly it was just D&D, and there was nobody really playing Warhammer at that time, which was probably about 2004-5-ish. So it was kind of a failed attempt to try and play Warhammer again. And when I really managed to get back into it again was when I came to Japan for the first time, which was probably about 2010-ish, I guess. That's the second time actually, but it was around then. And I found a bunch of people just doing various hobby things, one of which was people playing Warhammer. I met a bunch of like-minded people, and we started to play. I can't remember the edition. We played 40K again. I can't remember the edition, but we played on and off for a few years, and it was good fun at the time. I think the rules went through a bunch of iterations at that time, and it was one of the things that people started to get turned off because of all the buckets of dice you needed and the thousands of miniatures that you needed in order to just play a very basic game. And the same happened to Warhammer with 8th edition after that. And so there was sort of an up and down with it, I guess. And then people kind of stopped again. Maybe that must have been 5-6 years ago. Everybody sort of thought I knew, stopped playing. obviously the intransient nature of people living in Japan, which I guess for people listening who don't know, many people come here very briefly and then leave after just a few years due to work and stuff. And so a bunch of people left, and then I was sort of in hobby limbo for a little while. And then after that, it was with the Old World Army Challenge. I was talking to a very good friend of mine called Adam Humphreys, who's also on the Old World Army Challenge. And coincidentally, I actually met him for the very first time in Japan in that first in that hobby group I mentioned a moment ago. We were just in a pub. He was over for work. And I was like, look at this. And he's like the same sort of age as me in the same era. And I was like, look at all these old cool models from your childhood, the nostalgia. And we got very drunk. And the long and short of it was we both ended up just buying a whole bunch of stuff on eBay the next day. And I had like a Savage Orc army within like a month, like, you know, the lead version of a Savage Orc army within a month. And I can't remember, he went for Skaven, I think, yeah. He had his Skaven, which was his sort of favorite childhood army, all like parts of lead in boxes in his house. And then we joined the Old World Army Challenge, which I've done three now, have I? I've done 3 years of the Old World Army Challenge, so that was 3 years ago. So I did 2 years of Savage Orcs, because I had a lot of Savage Orc models. And then I did the Imperial Guard last year. And so that's, I guess that's the journey. That's my hobby journey and where I come from. About my ramble about that.
Yeah. That's good, Sam, because we got in contact maybe through the Old World Armor Challenge, I think maybe I discovered you through the Old World Armor Challenge when I was part of it.
I think I'm not sure. Contacted before. I can't really remember quite how we got in contact, yeah, to be honest.
Can't remember how we did, actually, yeah. I was just so stunned that it was another person who collected like Herohammer stuff, age stuff in Japan. Yeah. Like, it was just like, what are the chances of that actually ever happening?
Yeah, I mean, it was the same for me when I first contacted you. I said, I can't quite remember how we did that, but I was also like, wait, there's people playing fifth edition in Japan. What? Like, I was just doing this because if I wanted that, you know, nostalgia dopamine, you know. But it was amazing. And it was like, oh, now I can actually play some games with this army. Super. So I was thinking I was just going to paint them, and then they were going to go on like a display cabinet of some description. And yeah, the notion was that me and my friend Adam were going to play some games once in a blue moon when we're in the same vicinity. But we did actually play one game a few years back. But actually, to find a group obviously here as well and get gaming, that was really, really cool. And seeing a lot of the old, you know, the old models, and obviously your collection as well, all wonderful fifth edition nostalgic lead. Was super, you know. It was very happy. Well,
that's why we're doing it. I think that's why it's a reliving those dreams of things we couldn't have. Like you say, when we're back in the day when we were young, we couldn't afford those things or they weren't accessible. So I remember our first game, you terrorized my dwarves with your Savage Orc army.
The thing with the Savage Orcs, I feel, is just they're either very, very strong or they're absolutely terrible. I feel there's no like in between. It's like as soon as they've somehow lost their frenzy status, they basically might as well not exist anymore. Just, you know, take them off the table and quietly put them in the corner. But like when they're on the table with the frenzy going on, they're just like, yeah, ooga booga, get in there, hammer some people or whatever. So. And they are a bit light on the strategy and the tactics as well, because the whole army's frenzied. So it's basically just like move towards the closest thing you can and hit it.
Yeah.
So, but you know, it's fun. So as I have no problems with that element of it, it's good. And it was really nice also To be able to, when I was collecting that army and also playing the games, it's really nice to be able to get some of the models that also were even perhaps a little bit before my time, but were still like excellent sculpts. Like the giant I've got, for example, is like one of the, was it the C, I want to say C19 giants or something like that. It's like one of the really old phase models. And it's tiny compared to giants, like these days ones, but even it's like tiny compared to the giants of like the 90s era as well, because that giant model is like quite hefty. And this guy is like basically the size of a troll. But also, like, you know, seeing those kind of models on the table, which is like, you know, that model was probably made in like 1985 or something, you know, to see the table in 2018 or 2019, whenever once we had that games. And also potentially, you know, from now, I mean, that's kind of, I think that's kind of amazing. I mean, I'm just using that as an example of like a model like that, but it's really amazing to see these models that are now like, you know, 30 plus years old and seeing the light of day is really cool, I think.
Well, your giant should be a little bit technically bigger because he came into that game and he approached my unit with the general in it.
Oh, yeah.
And the general was like right on the corner of that unit. And I thought, what's he up to? And he said, I'm going to charge you. And I said, okay, fair enough. Come on. Come and give me some. And then he said, okay. And then I'm going to pick up your dwarf and eat him. And then you ate him. We put him in your bag or whatever.
Yeah, it was in his pocket or whatever it is. Yeah.
So you bloody what? That. Couldn't believe that. Yeah. So I've forgotten all the rules about for the giants and stuff like that. But yeah,
I think it's like a... And it's not a random roll, is it? I think it's a random roll what happens once you put him in the pocket, I think. And then
but it's all bad, like, bad, 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 bad. Like, if you go through the whole list of things.
Yeah, I mean, none of them were good, but I think, like, when we rolled it, it was just, like, he's, like, lost in the pocket forever or something. It was like, the worst one. I rolled, like, the double six or whatever, you know, and it was just like, sorry, Mr. General Man.
Yeah, it was good, though, because I like that. Because I always remember that game for that particular moment. It was just such an incredible moment.
That was a lot of fun, that game.
Yeah, we definitely need a rematch of that one. The dwarves need to come back.
They come out again, for sure. Come out
and give the savage orcs a go again, because that was the first time I've ever faced a savage orc army. Never seen them on the table before, but actually seeing one completely of all savage orcs was quite unique too.
Yeah, I really wanted to just collect like every sculpt. Because I'm like for me, like that era, the sculpts I really like are almost always like Prairie Twin sculpts. I really like them. And it's the same with the Imperial Guard, for example. All the Imperial Guards basically of that era were all sculpted by the Prairie Twins. And so my entire like sort of theme, I guess, when I wanted this to, apart from being Savage Orc only, was that I wanted to just collect every single possible sculpt and put it into an army. Which I think is not really, even back in the day, I think people didn't really just field whole Savage Orc armies, to be honest. I mean, you could, but I think it wasn't that common, I would have thought. But for me, it was just, I want all these sculpts. And there's like, I think there's like four heroes, there's a general, there's like two shamans, I think. I can't remember, there's two or three shamans, and there's like mounted ones. And then there's, I think there's like seven or eight sculpts within the Savage Orc War Boys. And then there's like a whole bunch of sculpts for both the spears, the hand weapons, and things like that. So I really just want to get all of them. And actually some of the sculpts are almost non-existent. So it's really hard to get like one or two. I had to search for a long time just to get them and pay like, you know, £10 on eBay just for like one, just because it was... I guess they just didn't produce many of them, or maybe it was one that just was rare for whatever reason. And it was always funny when I was going around collecting them, because sometimes people, because obviously you get a lot of people trying to bump up the prices on some of the rarer miniatures. And then sometimes you'd find a lot that would just have like a whole bunch of the rare miniatures in it, and then a whole bunch of the average ones, and it would go for like a couple of quid. And obviously I got lucky with some of those to get that. And then other times I just couldn't find any of those sculpts for love nor money. But yeah, I mean, I really like the Prairie Twin sculpts. They really sort of epitomize that era that I loved. And that's where that Savage Orc army came from, just that love. And the same is true of the Imperial Guard for 40K, as I was saying. There's like a lot of different Puritan sculpts for those. You've got like each individual like Imperial Guard range. And I mean, to be frank, the reason I chose to do the Kachans was just because of how easy it was to get large lots of them versus some of the others, like some of the things like the Mordians and whatnot. They're just very hard to get and to make like a usable army out of. And I just, you know, I wanted to do this for the Old Army Challenge, so I wanted to have a whole army's worth of miniatures. And if I need to go around picking up like two or three Mordians each time, it was just impossible to try and do that due to their sort of rarity and whatnot. They did, I believe, recast. There you go.
Or re-release.
They did. Sorry. Yeah, re-release. So they did some like old cast release, I think, of the Valhallans and also the Kachans. I don't know whether they did anything else. I assume they've probably done the Cadians at some point as well, but they've never done like the Mordians. They've never done the Praetorians, which are essentially just a head swapped version of the Mordians anyway. And they've never done the Talarn either. So although I really like all of them, to be fair, I would have happily, if you know, whichever one was easier to sort to get hold of, I would have chosen that. But it turned out to be the Kachans was just easy, and the miniatures are fantastic. And again, they've got a really lovely range of different sculpts for like the captains and the colonels and the sergeants and then individual models. But I have a confession that I don't have every single Kachan sculpt. There's like one that still has eluded me. And I've only ever seen it come up like very occasionally. And it's always just sort of slipped through my grasp. So I'm still hunting for that one final elusive Kachan to join the squad. But yeah, I think I'm also missing one heavy weapon as well, if I recall. But yeah, something like that. And my army is also very badly missing in the tank department. I sort of focused on I focused on picking up all like the squaddies, you know, and the brass. And I bought one Sentinel because I love that old metal, really dopey looking Sentinel. I think it's like one of the most stupid looking models, but I love how stupid it looks. So that's why I must have it, you know, kind of situation. But yeah, I've got like one of the tank commanders as well, who's like, he's ready to get a tank underneath him, but I have yet to purchase even a single tank for the army. So I'm sort of like the worst Imperial Guard commander in existence, probably.
Like, I think the army suits it because it's a jungle fighting force. So they would technically wouldn't really have a lot of sort of armor in.
Well, that was like the third edition catch and change, wasn't it? Like the original time, like basically everyone had like loads of tanks, but then when they brought out third edition, the Kachans became the non-tank like Imperial Guard army. And so you're right, yeah, it does kind of suit the theme to a point, but I still kind of want to have a lot of tanks, you know. I mean, I'm someone who needs my toys, you know. I need them tanks. So
yeah, that's good, mate. That's good. Yeah, because I don't have that many vehicles anyway, so it's actually nicely matched, I think, for our game tomorrow, because we're going to play a game tomorrow, aren't we?
Yes, indeed. Looking forward to it.
Me too, mate.
So you're bringing your orcs, right?
Absolutely. The Bad Moons are coming.
Oh, very nice.
Come for those Catachans. Nice. So yeah.
I saw some of the paint jobs that you've done and look excellent, but I've not seen the whole lot, so I'm very much looking forward to seeing everything in one place.
Yeah, likewise with your Catachans, mate. I want to see them up close. Yeah. But
yeah, don't look too close. My painting skills not that good.
No, look really good, mate. Look really good. I think it'll look nice, lovely. So look good. But I think, yeah, once you add a couple of vehicles in there and and all that, you know, you're sort of, you're rocking out at like a 1500 point, force easy. And that's a nice, nice balanced. I think, you know, me and Paul play like 1200 points. I think we played 1500 points last game we played. And I think 1500 points is a nice points, like nice size game to play, I should say. I'm trying to word that correctly.
I remember sort of only ever really playing really sort of unwieldy size games when I was younger. And I think with the second edition system, the more points you add, the more unwieldy it becomes, which conversely is why it's such a good system for something like Necromunda, which is basically the same rule set, because if you only have to manage 10, 15 models or something like that. So I can imagine that 1500 is probably some kind of a good, 12 to 1500 is a sweet spot for it. And once you get to like 2000, it's probably like, now we need 8 hours for a game or something daft like that. So I can imagine that. But as I was saying to you over our messages and whatnot, it's been so long since I've played that I'm very sure that aside from the very, basic process, I'm just going to be like, wait, what does that do? How do I do that?
Me too, mate. We've only had played, five games? Five or six games so far. But yeah, it's sort of slowly coming back because I did a couple of things that Paul pulled me up on. Like, I think I tried to run my guy, my Nazdreg, towards his enemy, and he said, oh no, you can't do that in second edition because you got to wait. Because basically, I really like that rule, because when you try to run, you can't effectively run unless you're charging it. You can make actually contact with the enemy because your enemy's got obviously ranged weapons. They're thinking, well, I can't really run out into the open. That doesn't really make sense. I've got to sort of move into cover, and then the next turn, if I can make it to a charge, then I can run into combat. So it's got some really nice little hidden rules that I'd forgotten about, and it's got things like hiding and Overwatch. We haven't actually done Overwatch yet, surprisingly, all our games. But I remember, that being a really quirky rule that sort of maybe was in Necromunda 2. I'm not really sure.
Yeah,
I know what you mean. That the cross between the two systems are very, very similar. And like you say, I think small numbers of figures does work better for 40K second edition. Yeah, once you get to the crazy number of 50, 60 models, it just becomes a bit, then your models will just play epic on that sort of larger scale, yeah.
Well, it's like the close combat as well. The close combat's model by itself, right? So once you get into the close combat you've got even just two squads, 10 versus 10, I mean, that can take like 15 minutes just to resolve one round of close combat, it's quite a thing, So, it just gets a little unwieldy the higher points you go. And certainly with a swarm type of army. And I mean, I think my army is probably something like 50 or 60 models, actually, because of Imperial Guard are quite cheap points wise, but they're also rubbish in close combat, so if that does happen, they're just gonna die, so
so it should be a good contest tomorrow. Bit of guerrilla warfare against some savage bad moons shooting and charging into combat, so it should be good fun. are you taking a psyker tomorrow?
No, I have the model, but I haven't painted it, so I could pull it out necessary. Okay.
Is it prime black or something, or white?
No, I'm pretty sure it's just gray. It might even be, wait a minute, it might be in the stripping fluid. It might not be possible to pull it out. the funny thing is that era Psyker model is really rare, so really? I wanted a very specific one. Like, he's got this like staff of like a, I think it's like a ram's head skull on it, and it's like the 90s era one that was sculpted by the Perrys, I think, and I had to hunt for that for such a long time, And even once I hunted for it, I couldn't get, I think I had to pay something like 20 quid for it, but I waited until like eBay give me one of them special magical discounts or whatever you want. And then I only paid like a tenner for it. So yeah, there is, it's super rare. And everyone wants to charge you load for it. But when it came, it was like, you know, it was one of them bloop paint jobs. So I had to chuck it in the stripper and I haven't got it out since. I've got assassins though. Again, they're not painted, they're grey, but yeah. I could put in, if like Psyker is going to be a problem, I could always put in the anti-Psyker assassin, but I don't know if that's going to be too hard to deal with because I think they're like quite strong.
Yeah, Paul plays the Sisters of Battle and he can take assassins too. So
yeah.
Yeah, he got me the first time when we played. He got me with one of the chameleon assassin, ones that can disguise themselves as one of your own guys and pop up in a unit and start killing guys left, right, and center. So he got me the first time with that. Then I brought the I think the sniffer squig for the orcs, and you can't basically do that within a huge range. I think it's like 24 inches or something like that. So it's good. I really like playing the assassins because they're this hard as nails, mate. They're the real superheroes, those things. I mean, they're just almost unkillable.
Yeah, they're pretty strong. Pretty strong. They're also like two, I think like the cheapest one's like 200 points. So they're quite
Really
priced though. Yeah, I've got the book here.
I've absolutely no idea how much they cost, but yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
I can pull it out. Let's have a little peruse. Oh, there you go. Yeah. So the Vindicare's the sniper one, that's 215 points.
Wow.
The Kalidas is the lady with the big ponytail, I think. Yeah. And she's 237. The Eversaur is the one with the skull head, which is 240, and he's like close combat guy, I think. And the Calyxus is the anti-psycho one, is 210. So there you go.
Okay.
So they're pretty hefty. But yeah, they are hard as nails. I remember that from back in the day. But I can always pop one of those in if you want.
You do whatever you like, mate. You do, because I'm bringing a psyker.
Okay.
Look, I've kind of got to, because otherwise I can't make the points up, basically. So yeah.
I'll bring
my warp head. So he's a level 4 psyker. So unless you want to proxy something as like an inquisitor, what can the Imperial Guard take? Is it just inquisitor?
They can take a Primaris. They can just call a Primaris psyker. There's various levels of it, but I think the Lord one is a bit hefty points wise, but the regular one's not too bad. But again, I can't quite remember. It's been a while, but I haven't really included one in the list. But it would be fine to include one very easily. Where is it? Command, bibbidi babbidi boo, Primaris psyker. Yeah. So there's four levels of it, so I can just match whatever level one you take.
I'm taking level 4, but I'll knock it down to level 2, mate. You just take a level 2.
Yeah.
And, sure. And I'll knock mine down to level 2. I'll just take a weird boy. Yeah, I'll do that. And then, well, at least we've got some nice psychic.
Yeah, we have some fun with that.
Because it's just like the 4th edition Warhammer magic system, which is cool. So you
yeah, Dark Millennium, right?
Yeah, so you get to cast on each player's turn, and it's very similar to 4th edition battle magic. So yeah, that's a little fun.
Yeah, I'm 100% up for it. I said I bought the cycle with the rationale of putting it in there. It's just I'm pretty sure it's still in the stripping fluid. So
Is it the I'm thinking, when I think about Imperial cycles, I'm thinking of the three really iconic ones. I think Jez design them, and they're all got bald heads, and they've got these sort of really what's that TV show I'm thinking of? Their costumes are very very elaborate, and they've got these really high collared, you know, sort of rounded high collared jackets and that kind of thing. Right. Flash Gordon is what I'm thinking of.
Flash Gordon.
Ming the Merciless. That's what they look like to me. So they sort of bring memories. And they've got these sort of force rods and all this kind of stuff, and las pistols, beautifully painted from the studio. Like the studio paint jobs are just amazing.
The one I have is a little similar to that, but I'm pretty sure it's not a Jez Goodwin one. There was only one sculptor in that era. I think the Jez Goodwin one. He did some a little bit earlier, which was the before the Perry Twins, before second edition almost range of Imperial Guard.
Yeah.
And then there's ones that are a little bit later where they look a bit more sort of like enfeebled almost. So the one I like is the one that's sort of in between. I can maybe try and get a picture up. Well, I don't know if I can even share a picture here with you, to be honest.
I'm trying to think which one that is, actually. I'm not really sure which one that could
it's
be.
It's got like a... Okay, here's the one. It has got that kind of high collar.
Yeah.
But it's got like a... It's got like a skull on a staff with like a four-pointed star thingy on it. I'll link this. Oh, this is some weird crap. I don't want that website. Yeah, it's got like a las pistol down by the side of his, in his hand, like down by his side, I guess. And then he's got like a big robe on with like a high collar. He is bald with a beard, like a goatee type thing.
Yeah.
And then he's got like a force staff, which has got like a skull and then four points coming out of it. Yeah, cool. But I think the bald guy one that you're thinking of, you're either thinking of the ones that are a little bit later, which is third edition, or the ones that are a little bit earlier.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, I think you're thinking of the earlier ones that, which was more in line with the range before they split them into the world. The different like Mordian, Iron Guard, and Valhalla, Ice Warriors, and all that is before they did that, where they were all just sort of general Imperial Guard looking guys when they had like the Beastmen in there and stuff like that. So that's a little bit earlier. But it's a very cool sculpt. I mean, I'll have to show it to you tomorrow. I'll show it to you.
Yeah.
I don't have a good way of getting a picture that's not like the dodgiest looking website ever. So I'm sending that to you. I can for sure bring that in. Yeah,
bring down it. We'll play. We'll have a bit of play with the dark Millennium set, because that's quite cool and good fun. I'll give you a quick rundown of what I'm taking.
Yeah,
I'm taking Nazdreg. That's the Bad Moon character.
Okay.
He's got this unique ability where he can take an extra D3 minus one strategy cards.
Okay.
Do you remember strategy cards?
Those are ones you get right at the beginning of the game.
A red back card, and they can do some really funny kind of, they can spring things up on your opponent, either at the beginning of the battle or during the battle. You can sort of play these cards. They're really good. So he's coming along with now a second level weird boy psyker, a mechaniac on a knobs bike, and a runt herd, but I think it's a character runt herd, and I think it's I forget his name. Waz Drag? I can't remember his name now. No, I'm thinking that's Nezdreg.
I know the one.
That's the other guy's name, but I don't know. I know. Was Droga or whatever. I can't remember his name. Anyhow, he's coming along with his super runts, because he can make them all super Gretchen or super runts when you take him. A couple of artillery pieces. We've got the squid catapult and the pulsar rocket. Okay. Good fun. Good fun artillery.
Have you got a shock attack gun?
I do have one, and just in the mail through the week, I managed to finally get, thanks very much to Adrian, if he's going to listen to this podcast. Thank you very much, mate. He sent me some Gretchen finally. It's the holy grail of any orc player to acquire metal Gretchen.
Oh, really?
So Adrian was so kind in Australia to do a deal. I'm swapping him some bikes that I don't need, and he swapped some plastic old Rogue Trader orcs and some metal ones and some Gretchen for me. So now I can finally take a shock attack gun. So I just need to paint it up.
It's a cool one. I had that model back in the day. That's a very excellent model.
Yeah.
And a really fun weapon as well, because it just does a bunch of stupid stuff, if I remember. And it's powerful as well. So it's a mix of the both.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, both in Epic too. Epic is a really powerful weapon as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they can send these frenzied Gretchen inside the armor of Titans and that kind of thing. So if you get the lucky rolls on them, that can really cause havoc within Titans and stuff. They're sort of just tearing bits and pieces or people from limb to limb. Yeah, so they're really, really powerful. Bring a Scorcher. They're fun. Okay.
Yeah.
They got like a heavy template weapon at the back, like the driver. You got a driver, and you got a guy in like this big tin can, like Ernie from Sesame Street, with his head sticking at the top, and he's got like this big nozzle that he just fires out these big, you know, gusts of flames. So that's quite cool. Another squad of Bad Moons, got 11 of those with a couple of heavy weapons, 11 Super Gretchen, and. About 5 or 6 Mega Armor knobs.
Okay, cool.
Bad Moon knobs, yeah. And that's about it, man.
Oh, yeah, sounds good. I mean, mine is literally what I painted up for the Old World Army Challenge, and it's okay, to be honest, I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think it's about 2 heavy weapon squads with different heavy weapons in them. I think it's 3 squads of regular guys. Each squad has got heavy and a special in it, and a command with I can take either a captain or colonel. I can't remember why I actually put in the list, but it's one of those two. And then there's a squad of rattlings.
Oh, cool. Yeah, great. Assembly.
Yeah, it's like 5 or 6 rattlings. I can't remember exactly how many I've got, but something like that. And yeah, one sentinel, my lonesome sentinel, representing the armor of the Imperial Guard by itself. And I think I've got another command squad, because if you have to, the way the organization works in Imperial Guard, you have to have a command squad and then you have to link other squads to it. So I'm pretty sure I've got like one army command squad, and then I've got one platoon command squad, essentially. So, and that's also how you get like a bunch of heavy special weapons and other unique things into the army, because they can only be taken by those special squads. So I've got I've got the comm link, which does like a barrage. I think it can do a barrage before the battle, and then it can do one heavy template barrage like every turn or something like that.
Okay.
And I've got a army standard bearer in there as well, because Imperial Guard not very good on the old leadership front, so they need all the help they can get. And I have one commissar to shoot anyone who decides to run away. That's pretty much what they do. So.
Excellent. I've never faced Imperial Guard Army 40k, so I'm really, really looking forward to it. And the barrage rule sounds really good. That sounds like a wonderful rule. So you can basically drop down a template at the beginning of the game to see if you can hit, or they just send out sort of a barrage before the start of the game, basically before the guys roll out of the battlefield and soften up and tenderize the army a little bit before the action starts. That's quite a cool idea.
Yeah, I think the first one is like free, like the before the battle one is free, and after that you have to like roll to see whether you can get through, essentially, and if you're successful you get a barrage. And it's basically like a Lima Russ battle cannon template, because the idea is it's like Lehman Russ is firing from some location kind of thing. Ooh. I think it's like strength 8 something, you know, biggish template, whatever inches. I can't remember the size, but I think it's the biggest one.
It's probably this big bar sort of a thing.
It's probably that one, yeah. I mean, we'll have to take a look when we do it.
We need to go through all that stuff, mate, because yeah, I have absolutely no idea. But we should get your sentinel, maybe some extra armor, because like you got like these war gear cards for your vehicles, you got vehicle cards like war gear, and basically you can upgrade your vehicles I think maybe we should do that too for your sentinel, to give them some extra armor. What is their armor value from the front and all that, mate?
Let me take a little look. Here we go. Okay, I got the Where do you check that? No, that's the weapon. That's the ramming value. Oh, okay. Yeah, so front armor's all 50. Yeah, it's 15 across the board.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It's, yeah, front, side, rear, all 15.
Yeah. Well, mate, you got nothing to worry about. I don't think there's very little of what I have that can actually penetrate that.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure there's not that much. There's not many weapons that I have that will do it. Yeah.
Yeah, like Lima and Russ is more, they're like 16, 22, 17, 25. And then Hellhounds are like 16, 21, 22. Yeah, that's the Sentinel, yeah.
Nice.
I mean, it's, I mean, to be fair, it's not, it's only got an assault cannon on it, so it's not, I mean, it's not terrible, but it's not,
it's
like
pretty good. Devastational. Assault cannon, I'll take that any day. Was that three sustained fire dice or something like that? Or two sustained fire dice?
Sustained fire, three dice, yes. Three sustained fire dice.
Okay, that's lovely, yeah. So, because my bikes are like armor value 10, I think. So,
really?
It's got five, it's five better than my bikes. My bikes are like really brittle. So, yeah, pretty much anything can, I think even a bolter can effectively take one out.
Well,
yeah.
I probably have like, fair warning. I think, like, if you've got all about like weapon, like heavy weapons, I've got like probably four rocket launchers. Two or three heavy bolters, a las cannon, a mortar, and then I've got maybe six or so special weapons of some description. I've got like flamers, plasma. I've only got one plasma gun, I think. And then I've got two or three flamers, two or three metal guns, something like that. So there's a lot of like heavy weapons in the army. But I mean, again, like they die really easily, so I wouldn't worry too much about it. Like,
that's the strength of the Imperial Guard, though. That's what they should be having. They should have like just be tanked to the teeth.
Yeah,
with every weapon imaginable. Yeah, they've got full authority from the Emperor to take as many, as many guns as they like. So, yeah. Okay, that'd be good. Yeah, basically, my orcs, you know what orcs do, mate? Like your savage orcs, if you're just running across the table trying to get in hand-to-hand combat.
Chop, 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 chop.
Yep, chop, choppy, choppy, chop. Yep, so.
Yeah, well, if you manage to make it, I think, like, aside from, aside from, like, the character models, they're, like, just paper, they're just going to insta-die.
Yeah, orcs aren't much better. Regular orcs aren't much better, but
do they get the extra attacks and stuff? I remember, I think in third edition they give them like a bunch of extra attacks, but I'm not sure about second edition. I really can't remember.
No, I think my and I've been playing it wrong actually, because my mega armor orcs, I thought they only had one attack, but of course they've got a bolt pistol and a power fist, so it gives them two.
Yeah, because you can fire.
But the regular dudes just get one. They've got one attack. And your characters obviously got like, you know, more than one. They got like your warlord choice or commander will have three. And
I think like basically their armor's like that. Like I think the standard Imperial Guard is like, you know, it's toughness three with I don't even know. I think you get armor. I think it's like six plus. So probably
you probably got flak armor like me, which is the standard issue, I think.
Yeah, where is it?
Five, six, or six plus.
Yeah, flak, six plus, and five plus against blasts. But yeah, their strength three, toughness three.
Yeah.
So fairly easy to kill in general. I mean, yeah, I mean, like bolt guns, obviously, that's like no save. That's bolt guns minus one, that's strength four, if I remember correctly. So,
yeah.
So I'm sure pretty much all of your stuff will just be like, taking dudes out.
I don't know. We'll have to see. But in any case, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I really, really look forward to our game tomorrow, mate. It'll be really good. We can just take our time and just take it easy and just go through everything together. And, you know, hopefully that'll be the start of a few more games we can play every now and again. It should be good.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to it. It's again, you know, likewise with the fifth edition Warhammer stuff, it's great to see people playing second edition 40k just randomly nearby. So I'm very pleased that I can actually take this army out for a spin, see how it goes. Because like exactly as I explained before, my entire sort of modus operandi behind collecting this was just get every sculpt, you know? So I just collected all the sculpts, hence why there's like no tanks. So yeah.
Yeah.
But hopefully it'll be a one.
Yeah, if no one's seen Sam's Savage Orc Army, I've seen it in the flesh, and it's a beauty to behold. And Sam is a really dedicated collector, and he's actually physically collected every single Savage Orc variant that Perry's ever designed. So I'll add some links to the show notes so people can go to the Old World Army Challenge and have a look at Sam's armies, because some really good stuff in there.
Thank you very much. I like painting weapons red. That's the theme of my armies. All weapons will be red.
were they any other color though back in the days? I think everything was red. No. Wood was red. The bolter casings are red.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's all red. So there we go. One of the things is, right, so I painted both of these armies over 3 years, right? I have painted red, green, and black, and a few different browns. I have pretty much not painted any other colors, a little bit of yellow. So I need to in my next Old World Army Challenge paint some like other colors.
Yeah.
But for my next Old World Army Challenge, I'm probably doing wood elves, so I'm going to be back to like green again.
Wow.
So it's just never ending greens. I might not do red weapons. I don't know. We have to wait and see.
Now, is this Wood Elf Army the Jess Gooden vintage, or is it sort of later Ali Morrison vintage?
It's the Ali Morrison sculpts. Yeah, I really like those. It's another sculpt I really like. I like a lot of his stuff. So yeah, super, super good. I think Trish Morrison, who's now Trish Carden, I think. I think she did a lot of the Wood Elf stuff as well. I think she did the kind of creatures in that range.
Dryads and all that, yeah.
I think she did, yeah. I can't be sure though. I'm pretty sure she did the dragon. She did the Wood Elf dragon, because I've seen that sort of the greens of where she did that. But I feel like she did a bunch of other stuff as well in the range. So really, really cool stuff. The one issue I'm having is getting those long shields. Do you know the ones I mean? The thin long ones?
Yeah.
They're a right pain in the butt to get hold of. I've got a bunch, but I haven't got enough for the spearman unit that I have.
Okay, I might have a few for you, mate. So
that would be super. I would take any and all of them off of your hands if you're willing to part with them.
Yeah, no, I'll have some for my, because I've got my high off army, and I think Tim is sending me, thankfully, Tim, that he's going to send me a few more. So I just needed a few to do for my high off, my high off army for my Shadow Warriors and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. They all have those kite shields, either the smaller ones or the longer ones, and the Silverhelms also have those as well. So yeah, if I've got a few spare, mate, I'll send them your way. No problem, mate.
Oh, that'd be super. I'm specifically looking for the longer ones. If you like the shorter ones, if you like the shorter ones, I may have some of those. If you want those, I could.
The shorter ones would be perfect. Yeah, we can do a trade on those. Excellent. Yeah, the shorter ones I'll really after. Yeah,
I'll have a route around and
good. Cool, mate. Excellent. Great. And I'm trying to entice you into Epic Space Marine, aren't I?
Yeah. I've still got that bunch that we traded before. They're still in the box, unfortunately.
That's all right, mate. That's all right.
I haven't managed to, like, I'm not very productive, I'm not gonna lie. Like I work predominantly at the moment towards doing things for the Old World Army Challenge. And it's like kind of symbiotic, you know, like doing it for the Old World Army Challenge, or am I doing it because the Old World Challenge is forcing me to do it?
Yeah.
And it's probably more the second one, you know, like I put myself into it to like force myself to paint these things. I'm not very good managing my hobby time. So that's probably why I haven't touched it yet. But I do still have them, and they're obviously excellent. I would love to get involved.
Yeah, good, mate. Excellent.
So I'm assuming there's not too many people doing that near us. Or am I wrong there?
No, it's only me and Paul. I wrote Paul into it, so he's willing to. And I've got Joe. Joe's a Spanish guy who lives down in Shinjuku, and he's now keen to print out his army. He's got a printer.
Oh, right.
And he likes playing those smaller scale. He wanted to do like Ancients or War Master or something like that. And I said, mate, you want to do Space Marine? Oh yeah, sounds pretty good. I know he likes 40K. So I sent him all. I scanned all the books, sent him all the rules, and he wants to do Marines, like an Imperial Fist army. And he's going to print all the he's got like all these STLs. He's going to print all out,
right? Yeah,
and base them all up and all that kind of stuff. So he's pretty keen. So yeah,
anybody? Yeah. I think for the epic stuff, there's a lot of like printable things. I've seen a lot of that about, and they come out pretty good. So yeah, it's nice.
Yep. I mean, you know, if the price is a bit out of people's reach, I mean, if you've got a printer, you know, you might as well. You can some amazing stuff, like the Marines that you can get on STL files now are just incredible. The detail, you got backpacks and everything, it's just insane. Like even the shoulder pads even got like a rim around it, you know, like the epic ones are just very basic. But then for epic, it doesn't need to be very complex in design anyway, because you're just painting effectively one color, and then just pick out the bolter details, and that's it.
Yeah.
If you want to elaborate, you can do like shoulder pads and that kind of stuff, but really it's just a two color process, really. But yeah, the stuff they're doing now for 3D printing, incredibly detailed models in 6mm. Wow. So if you want to drive yourself really insane, you can try to start painting those bloody things. But yeah, I think that's a bit beyond me, mate. I like looking at them in photographs, but painting them, no, I think I'll just stick with the blob technique. Blob, 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 it's done kind of thing for epic. That's the 3-foot rule. Yeah,
for sure. I didn't play Space Marine. I played the next edition, the Epic 40K. I played that a little bit back in the 90s, and I had orcs then. And I remember painting those, and it was just like spray them black and then put like one color on them. You know, you got the shadow, now you got the color. We're good to go.
Yeah. 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 Excellent, mate.
Yeah,
all right, mate. Well, I think we should be I need to get ready for tomorrow. And maybe you want to get ready or get some sleep before tomorrow, or get your psyker
find him, yeah.
Or get your stuff together, mate. But yeah, it's been really good to talk to you again, Sam. So it's been a while, mate, isn't it? It's been a couple of years since you last talked. So
I said likewise, happy to talk, and of course very much looking forward to seeing you tomorrow and playing.
Yep, definitely, mate. I'll be there with bells on, so I'd see you there at 11 o'clock. And yep. We're ready to kick off and roll some dice and have some fun.
Sounds good.
Okay, mate. Take care. Thanks very much.
Yeah, cheers.